Hello and welcome to this week's Shoot the Moon podcast. Broadcasting live and direct from Revenue Rocket World Headquarters in Bloomington, Minnesota. As you know, Revenue Rocket is the world's premier growth strategy and M&A advisor for IT services companies. I'm thrilled today to have my partner, Ryan Barnett, and Chelsea Nord, who runs our strategy practice here at Revenue Rocket, join us to talk about culture. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having me. I'm really passionate about leadership and culture. So this is a topic that I'm excited to kind of dip my toe and get introduced to the podcast.
And we are equally very happy to have you here, Chelsea. And a little bit of this is, we'd love to learn a little bit more about you, Chelsea, and what you're coming from and your background. So Chelsea is one of our newer additions to Revenue Rocket, and we can't be more pleased to have her at the company, and the impact that she's had already has been just exponential to our clients, to our work, and to what we do. And we're a much, much better firm because of her efforts. And I'd love to know, Chelsea, where did you come from? What where did you go to school? What did you do? What made you get into what you're doing today?
Yeah, thank you for those high praises, Ryan. I have a background in industrial organizational psychology, which is a practice area kind of about how people behave and how they make decisions in the workplace. And it's an interesting kind of background. It's kind of half statistics and measurement of employee behavior. And then the other half of it is kind of more your standard kind of OD management, kind of MBA type classes. So that's my background. I've got kind of a diverse set of roles that I held previous to joining Revenue Rocket in kind of both internal and external management consulting type of roles, as well as having my own kind of independent consulting company. So I would say I specialize in, employee survey and assessment development in the world of culture, employee engagement, and then on the other side of it, having some kind of multidisciplinary experience in management, general management consulting. So that's a little bit about me.
That's great. Now, it's been a helpful background. I think when you look at what we do at Revenue Rocket, we do growth strategy consulting to help IT services companies really realize their growth potential. And a lot of the work that we do was in mergers and acquisition. And when companies are ready to buy, or when their time's ready, right and ready to sell, we help people go through that process. And again, you've been invaluable in producing some great content for our clients to really dig in and understand where their growth potential could be. And the area of helping realize what's in the workforce, where companies can grow through great people has been very helpful. And today we really wanted to take something where it's almost, to me, before you were here, it was more of a fuzzy word. And that would be culture, and something where I would have looked at it in the past and said this is a set of beliefs that someone may have on how a company would run. But defining culture was a little bit harder. It was something where you had to kind of feel or ask around to get something that was more worthwhile. And what I wanted to do in this podcast is actually understand just simply what is the definition of culture and what's the definition of culture is how it applies to IT services companies. So I'll just start there and tell us what is culture?
Yeah, I would agree with you in that people kind of talk about it in this abstract kind of fluffy way. I think that there are kind of different definitions of culture, and it's really a loosely used term in the business context. And I think the key here is that a lot of people define culture as more like organizational climate. Think about ailments of organizational health, you know, things that would typically be measured by an employee engagement survey or measuring kind of the well-being of employees. Think about things like commitment and job satisfaction, employee retention, advocacy of the company. Those are all kind of organizational climate. And I think people confuse that with culture. how we define culture and how we look at it from an M&A lens is not really synonymous with that org climate or employee satisfaction. It is more about routine kind of behavioral norms, a shared set of values and beliefs that guide how people show up to work every day, kind of how they approach the job, and it guides behavior of employees and teams. So that's kind of how I would define it. I think of it really as any other societal group. So if you're thinking about like a family, a club, or a religious group, there's kind of these shared set of values, norms, and beliefs that guide how people work. And they're built up over time, and they're built through experiences and knowledge gained, certainly impacted by leadership and direction from leaders. It's almost like anthropology in the workplace. So that's kind of how I would visualize the construct of culture.
Yeah, I think that's a great understanding and a differentiation. So it's not an org climate and where we've seen it before, getting a pulse of where it's at and how it may impact company. What you're saying is that this is the set beliefs of why people will work together. Why would they be in a group together? If I take a step back, how do companies start to define it? Or how does culture ingrained in a company in that context? To your point, is it the CEO who demands it, or is it the hiring practices and ways that people come to work? I mean, how is that shaped?
I think it's shaped through all of those things. I think that, you know, at the surface level, policies and practices and how you incentivize people from a compensation standpoint, those are all things that can definitely impact behavior, but they're pretty surface level. When you get into like truly shaping organizational culture, or in the future thinking about how you'd need to maybe change it and modify it, then you get into things like leadership direction, values, beliefs, norms, shared experiences that happen in the workplace. So all of that takes some time to build up, and it takes time to change, to be honest with you. I mean, it can be done, but it takes intention and kind of purpose and how you approach that.
And if you take, and there's a clear intention there, can culture truly be defined?
I think it can. And I think there's some different kind of elements, cultural elements or components that I would look to. And, you know, I can give it maybe an example of one to give kind of a visual or a little bit more description for you guys. If you think about, for example, let's say how an organization approaches the customer experience, what type of relationship do they want to foster with their customers? So now if you think about like a dichotomy, like a continuum, you can visualize this for a moment, and it's more dichotomous. On one end, you might try to drive and create a really, really, really extreme, close, intimate, individual relationship with all of your customers. That's extreme customer intimacy. And then on the other end, you could actually be trying to create a very transactional experience, focus on meeting the customer need without getting to know much about the customer kind of on an individual basis. So if those are the two extremes, you could also as a company kind of be somewhere in the middle, building repeat customers who are loyal. You might have a delivery that's designed according to like a customer segment or type, but not drive such an extreme customer relationship. So this is like one component of culture I might articulate for you. And you can see how both approaches are effective. It's not like one is better than the other. Both are world class, and they've been proven out by different companies. On the extreme customer intimacy example, if I were to give an example of this, it'd be like, Ryan, you going into your local coffee shop, right? And you walk in the door and they know you so well on a deep level that you walk in the door, they have your drink ready. It's your custom triple shot, half calf, coconut milk, extra hot drink ready when you walk in the door. And on the other end, you could have a coffee shop that runs more like a McDonald's cafe franchise. Super transactional, efficient. You're going to get your drink and you're going to get out the door as fast as you can. You're going to get on with your work day. No small talk here. Probably know how are the kids doing. But nonetheless, both world-class experiences, it's just a very different strategy.
No, absolutely. I think you just described Mike's coffee order. Mike. Not here, but totally agree. So,
there's a couple more things, actually, Ryan. A couple more things sprinkled in there, but she got it pretty close.
it's a good example. And I think what is nice is there's definable elements there that if you're looking at a company and we peel back why we're talking about this today, it starts to matter in how your company is built and what it means to have the right processes, people, technology in place to enforce and to supplement and help that culture and cultural development. I think that's important to just to know what it is. Mike, you've been working with IT services companies for nearly your entire career, but in the last 20 years, we've been exclusively focused on IT services companies and helping them grow. Why does culture matter when it comes to IT services companies?
Well, Ryan, it's a good question. You know, IT services companies are people businesses, and I think it's super important to understand that. Given the challenge that, you know, we saw in the press around, you know, the pandemic and some challenges with people and the great resignation and, you know, all that, right? I think understanding how to create and codify a great work environment and culture, is paramount to your success in IT services. It's not really optional. I think the companies with the best culture wildly outperform. And when I say best, I mean just the most vibrant, interactive and amazing culture. And think about it in many ways, like, have the best results in the end. They're ones where people are content and happy to come to work. I mean, I think you have to remember that, you know, we spend a lion's share of our life actually working. When you think about that, we spend more time every day working than we do with our family, typically doing almost anything else in our life. So you need to be in a spot with an organization where that's good, right? You feel good. You're satisfied. You can contribute at your highest level, that you don't have distractions from, you know, drama or things that might be occurring in your career. And I think a lot of that comes from just creating a healthy culture, one that is vibrant and one that thinks about all of the staff members and what they need on an individual basis, and yet can contribute to, you know, where the parts, the sum of the parts are greater than the whole.
Absolutely, Mike. And this discussion here just has me thinking of so many different questions. And part of this is we'll be going into a culture a bit more throughout these podcasts, and then bringing Chelsea on board here as we look at these look at culture and how it can be impactful and in companies. If I hear this right, if culture can be defined and it can be transformational to how a company can act, can culture change and can culture be modified and have an impact that's different than where we started out with? Or can culture change? And Chelsea, that might be over to you.
It can. It's not easy to change, but it is absolutely possible with intentional efforts and focus. And it really starts with being able to get a good assessment or foundational understanding of what it is today, right? So the other things I would add is it's the change will require more than policy or incentive changes. So again, if I go back to my reference of, you know, incentive structures or policy or process changes, I think culture runs a lot deeper than that. And if you are in a position or organization's in a position where they need to shift culture to be better aligned, to drive growth, it's going to take some more effort than just policy changes. It's going to take really, really strong leadership. It's going to take intentional kind of definition around what you want your future culture to look like. And then you're going to have to be really, really take care along the way and have a good change plan for how to get to current state. It's going to take a little bit longer than a lot of people may realize too. So I think the average is more to see behavioral change and changes in how people kind of values and beliefs and norms take takes more of like the 12 to 18 month range to see meaningful shift, I think research says. So it's not impossible. It just takes time and focus.
Yeah, time, intention. And if you, with that intention, I think you can build something great. Mike, you have a phrase that, what do you call M&A? I can't, it's a, what's the act of M&A?
Yep, the most unnatural act of business.
Right, exactly. And when you think about that in a cultural standpoint, that's where we're going to start to dig into in future podcasts, is that M&A will have an, or culture will have an, is one of the three pillars that we look at when we look at a deal. We look at strategic fit, cultural fit, and financial fit. And as we start to go into that, we can, I think, start to unravel M&A from being the most complex sale in the world and the most unnatural act, if we can start to put more structure and rigor around to defining what culture is and how we can align those cultures in the future. With that, for me, this is a bit of a teaser of where we're trying to, where we'd like to go in the future. Mike, I'd love to, Chels, any other definitions of culture that you want to, any main points that you'd like to start here?
The only thing I would do is add to what Mike said around kind of the why culture matters. I would just add in that there's actually a lot of research to support that organizational culture can have a lot of impact on employee performance, retention, as well as organizational performance. So including customer retention and growth rates. You know, if employees tend to work harder to achieve organizational goals, if they feel like they're part of a corporate environment that aligns and that they have better fit in. So just wanted, not to belabor, but wanted to just stress the importance on organizational outcomes and kind of what the impact of culture can have in terms of organizational and individual employee success.
You had cited a stat, I believe, is it James Heskett from the Culture Cycle?
Yeah, so he had some research in there, and that's one example that an aligned culture, which means kind of a culture that's an alignment to organizational strategy, can account for as much as 50% of the competitive difference between organizations. And that's just one research finding. There's been quite a bit of research that would confirm that in the last few years as well. So it's not just fluff.
There's straight ROI to that. And I think when you put it in the M&A context, and you're likely to get exponential returns if you combine and align cultures in a way that can bring something together that you couldn't do alone. Mike, any thoughts from you as we define culture?
I think, you know, a couple thoughts. One would be that, you know, your culture within an IT services business is your own. I think I would encourage all leaders that are trying to create a healthy culture to be very sensitive to, you know, walking a mile in the shoes of your team members and seeking to understand their position in culture that you're creating, and to be empathetic to whatever situation or things that they're going through in their life. We all have those times that we're challenged and sometimes that we're not, and we're in the zone, I'd like to call it. And I think the best leaders and purveyors of culture are one that can really, you know, just use that term, walk them out in their shoes. And if you create a culture that's sensitive and empathetic, it will be one that will return dividends to you for many years to come.
Totally agree. Well, thank you, Chelsea, for being on our first podcast here.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Great conversation. I'm excited to come back if you'll have me.
Awesome. Well, you'll have future episodes, I'm sure. But Mike, with that, I'll turn it over to you.
Great. So that will tie a ribbon on it for this week's Shoot the Moon podcast. I would encourage all of you to tune in next week, and we'll unpack and explore more topics around M&A and strategy for IT services companies. Take care and make it a great week.